just as much as your teacher as you are, might be a teacher yourself. You have to put people on the same level you're at as they are. Or you have to, even if you have to bring yourself, like jargon, linguistic jargon, I don't use it. What is the sense of using a word they don't understand? You're not communicating, and when you use words, you've got to put it in a form that they can understand. Then you're communicating.
Tell me about the dictionary. Tell me about that.
What do you want to know about it?
Well, did you make it?
Yeah.
You made a dictionary.
I made a preliminary dictionary, and it's been printed. I worked with 8 people here on reserve. It was my first job after graduation. And I worked on it for about a year and a half, 2 years, I guess, and then I had to put it into a book. And I used Audrey's daughter to, I got Audrey's daughter to make me drawings, like the cover, and also the lettering in for each letter of the alphabet that we use, because we don't use all the letters of the alphabet, our language. We have no bilabial sounds like B's and P's and M's. And so we could make very good ventriloquists because your lips don't hardly have to move when you talk one either. What is it supposed to mean?
One who wants to find out more. He's always wanting more. He's not getting enough. That's what it's supposed to mean. But he said it in a way that I can't pronounce it that way. He gets really mad. I say Botswana, but he says it in a different way. He can pronounce it. I can't.
Mm-hmm.
If there's something that comes in contact with him, and it's, if he feels it's Indian, why is it?
Yeah.
How come it's this color? Is there a reason for it?
That's another thing. Like, when I was a kid, when my mother told us something, we didn't ask why.
Mm-hmm.
Never. Now that's all our children ask us is why. Tell them to do something. Why? How come I have to do it? Or. And with my mother, my mother only had to look at us, and we knew we'd better shut up or else, or quit doing whatever it is we were doing at the time.
I used to love singing at the table as a kid. I'd be singing away, and then all of a sudden, you better stop singing at the table. It's not right. But why?
And us, we never questioned our mother.
It's
when
right.
We she did something.
What's going to happen to you? What's going to happen? Smack, that's what's going to happen. It wasn't my grandmother that did it. It was my mom. And then my mom really got mad at my grandmother for doing it. You're not supposed to hit her. Because my grandmother didn't believe in it either. Anyway, I was going to ask you about that. We were talking last time about the star blanket, and you said that the stitching in there couldn't be machining, and it all had to be stitched by hand.
The quilting of it.
Piecing of it is machine.
Yeah.
And the quilting is.
I've seen it done where the whole thing is just all done by hand, totally
done by hand. Well, I imagine there was a time when, like in the days of the pioneers, before the sewing machines come out, they would have to do everything by hand.
Mm-hmm. My grandmother used to have logs in her living room, and she'd have the blanket where it would turn, you'd have to turn it every time.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But even as she went along, even stitching one little pattern on there, she would stitch right through the whole works at the same time. So she'd have maybe three things going on that one blanket. Mm-hmm. She would first be putting on the bottom layer, then she would put on her batten,
uh-huh.
and then she would stitch her design in. And as she would stitch through the batten and the top and the bottom and then bring it back through.
Yeah.
Let's go back again to the explain once more to me the symbols for the star blanket, just so I can be sure I've got it all on the table.
The eight
again.
Points is four of those are the seasons, spring, summer, fall, and winter. And the four elements are fire, water, air, must be earth. And that's where you get the 8 points in the star. It has to be an 8-point star. And also she said that there are eight levels of things that he has to learn before he can get that, before he can be initiated, I guess. Then it adds up to 8 again. It totals 8 again. And there are things that run. I'm surprised somehow at this 8-point star, because so many things run by threes, fours, and sevens in Indian, different types of Indian people, I mean different nations, like the Algonquin or Iroquois or whatever else you might have. They mean something. I don't know. I guess it was just adopted into this making of the quilt, because certainly stars were used even a long time ago. Like you see the stars on the teepees. And I would imagine it, not thinking about it at the time I've seen these things, or in pictures of Indians long ago, the designs that they have. And in the lines that they have, especially on the wampum, they also mean something. Each design has their own meaning. So it's a study in itself again, as the wampum belts are studying themselves anyway. And someday I'm going to do that. First time I done a paper on wampum belts, and I thought, well, this great big university library has got to have all, you know, I thought I could go in there and get a book on it, and it would be in beautiful colors, you know. Ha! Are you kidding? You gotta be kidding. And I went through the same thing when the first year I taught Oneida. I thought, well, this great big library, it's gotta have something about Oneida in it, you know, about their language. Yeah, no way. I had to learn from somebody here. And then when I took linguistics, I learned a little bit more about sounds and stuff and how you can write a language. Now this business. And so that's always been since I was 15, I guess. Been an interest.
Does the colors that you use on your star blanket, do they have any meaning?
Well, it has meaning to me. In fact, when I called my daughter-in-law or my daughter the other day, I told her I had it done, and I said, did it have to be any color, any certain color? And I thought, well, if it has to be a certain color, then I'll may have to hurry up and make another one. And she said, no, it doesn't have to be. And he said, he told her that I'll let her use her good judgment. I said, well, it's got almost every color under the sun in this one quilt, you know, to make sure I've caught all the colors. So I guess the colors don't really matter.
Unless you want to put the colors
in. Yeah. The only reason why I done this one in so many colors was just because I wanted to catch as many colors as possible.
Did you ask him where the term star blanket came from?
No, but it's a name of Indian. It's a last name for Indian, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
star blanket.
From what I feel, I heard two different versions on that. I heard your version before too, but the other version was it was supposed to have the middle part of the blanket, you know how you start it off and then it gradually goes around. It's all the nations as one in that blanket. I'm supposed to know. That's one of the things.
Well, it sounds, you know, sounds logical to me.
Because it keeps going around.
And it is really, of course I didn't work around and around with this. I just started from the middle and worked out each diamond like that goes out. And then put those diamonds together. But I guess one could start from the middle and work around and around. But so each color then would mean that it would be a different nation.
Mm-hmm.
And nations have colors. Mm-hmm. I know their colors, in the Ojibwe, their colors are different than ours.
Mm-hmm. Ours is black, red, and white. The Bear Clan's is red, yellow. No, red, green, and yellow.
Red, green, and yellow.
So you'll see that when you go to Cape Croker and you go to the powwow, you'll see strips of ribbon hanging down, and you will see all those colors, and they'll all be placed in a certain order. But when they move in the wind, the colors mix.
To do the presentation yesterday that I done, I was looking for a story I heard Jon Snow tell about animals, you know, and how animals are being forced to do certain things that they have no way of knowing how to do, so they lose out.
Mm-hmm.
See, there's somebody who's some animal who can do that sort of thing, like the difference between a rabbit and a turtle. The rabbit can move quite fast, so they get into this silly old race. Well, it's something along that line, and I couldn't find that story, and I know I've got it someplace. What I did find was another story. It's not a story. It's a paper I done about sacrificing. Well, sacrifice. We had a guy from. It was a Hungarian guy, who came to teach as a guest teacher at the university that year, and we had to write on something. And what I did was take the white dog sacrifice. And even though they don't burn the dog anymore, or kill the dog and then burn it, the Iroquois still practice what's taken its place instead of the white, pure white dog, is a basket in its natural color. And there's all these ribbons in there, all the colors of the ribbons are in there, all bright colored ribbons are in that basket. At the time they'd done the dog sacrifice, it was the dog they had the ribbons tied on. And the colors that were in there mentions all these basic colors that we're talking about. And it says that they represent, or they were, those ribbons were the symbol of the colors of the things the Creator has given us. So there you are. You see pink flowers? We have a word for pink. We have a word for red. Or anything light, like blue. Blue like the sky, and then you can have light blue and dark blue. That's the three things we have, dark, light, and its natural color.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what he...
Interesting every time we come back. We spent 2 or 3 weeks here. You don't get it.